For the Greeks, she was Aphrodite. For the Babylonians, Ishtar. For NASA's new sun probe, she's a pair of brakes. Venus, the second planet from the sun, is getting some rare attention lately thanks to the Parker Solar Probe. NASA launched the spacecraft August 12th to collect data on the sun. The probe will do loops around Venus on its final approach, and that will slow it down enough to reach into the sun's atmosphere. This has a lot of scientists excited. Many feel that NASA has been neglecting the morning star for too long. Joining us now is Dean Regas. He's an astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory, and he's also co-host of the PBS show Stargazers. Dean, thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So how's this going to work? How will Venus act as a brake on this sun probe?
Well, it's one of those things you think, all right, well, we're going to fly a mission to the sun. Now, that sounds easy in one way and hard another way. You think, all right, well, we can aim stuff at the sun. That's easy. It's up there. It's big. But the problem is we're going around the sun and the Earth so fast. We're going about 66, 67,000 miles an hour around the sun. And we actually need to send a spacecraft off the Earth and then slow it down so it can get closer to the sun. And so just like you said, Venus is going to act as a brake for us.
And by the way, that probe is going really, really fast itself, like 430,000 miles per hour.
Yep, it's going to break all speed records ever made by any spacecraft ever. And it's going to go to a place no other spacecraft has gone before, just about a 4 million miles from the surface of the sun. And it's all to get a little bit closer so we can go through what's called the corona, the outer atmosphere of the sun.
Okay, and when it goes by Venus and Venus acts as this pair of brakes, are scientists going to be able to learn anything else about the planet?
Well, yeah, it's definitely not geared for Venus observations, but you did bring up a good point, as Venus has been neglected from us for a while. We had a spacecraft there called Magellan back in the early 90s that mapped out the planet for the first time. And this is so weird to think of, is that here we have Venus up there, one of our closest planet that can get to the Earth, and we didn't even know what the surface of Venus looked like until 1990.
Really?
Yeah, and so, you know, there were no Venus globes before then. When I was growing up as a kid, we had the Earth globe and maybe a little Mars, but that's about it, and the moon. But now we know what the surface of Venus looks like only since 1990, thanks to the Magellan spacecraft. And then a few years ago, we had a European Space Agency spacecraft called the Venus Express that was there circling around the planet for a number of years. And it just recently crashed into the planet on purpose to end its mission.
Well, it's so interesting because Venus is a lot like Earth in terms of size, in terms of density of the planet. The gravity is kind of similar. But then it's also just totally different. For one, it's like 850 degrees on the surface of Venus. So what else do we know about Venus? It sounds like not all that much.
Yeah, it's a mysterious planet because it's covered in clouds, so we can't see through the clouds from ground-based telescopes. You have to really be close by to check it out. Now, it's often called our sister planet, and I jokingly add in that it's our twisted sister planet because it is not really a pleasant place. This is probably the least hospitable place for us to go visit. Like you said, 850 to 900 degrees on the planet. And there's three ways to die on Venus real quick.
Okay,
one is
please.
You're going to melt. Two, you're going to be crushed by the atmosphere that's pushing down on you. 92 times the atmosphere of Earth right there. And then three, if it starts raining, it doesn't rain water, it rains sulfuric acid.
So maybe we don't really want to go there. But there's a reason why it's really hot. One of them is that it's much closer to the sun, but that's not the only reason, right? It's also because there's a bunch of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So the atmosphere of Venus is so incredibly thick and dense, and it's mostly made of CO2. So it acts like this greenhouse gas, gone wild. And so the whole surface of the planet, it's a fascinating world because, on Earth, we have very different temperatures, different places on the Earth. But on Venus, the temperature is the same on the entire planet every day, nighttime, daytime, equator. It doesn't matter. It's 860 degrees. Hmm. And so being a weather person, meteorologist on Venus is a piece of cake. Cloudy, 860 degrees every day.
Well, I bring up this idea that there's so much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and it is an extreme example of that. But, I mean, could it teach us something about what global warming might look like on our own planet?
Well, this is the fascinating thing about Venus. And again, we're just kind of scratching the surface here on our understanding of it. But it seems that there's a lot of evidence pointing to Venus having a very different past, that the atmosphere wasn't as thick back then, that there could have even been liquid water on the surface. When we look at the surface of Venus, there's all this evidence of volcanism, where there's volcanoes and lava pools and things like that have all become dormant. And so something has changed on that surface of Venus, and we're not sure if that is what caused this greenhouse effect or if it's been there for a lot longer than that. But right now it's looking like Venus was a more hospitable place in the past.
Maybe something more like Earth.
It could have been a little more like Earth. Of course, same size, not too much closer to the sun than us. There could have been some similarities, but there's also some other weird things about Venus. It is it rotates backwards compared to us. Huh. It also rotates so slowly that its day is longer than its year. Now, calendars get totally crazy on Venus.
Its day is longer than its year. I think you just stopped my brain there for a second.
Yeah, so it spins so slowly. It takes 243 days to spin once. So that's its day, but it takes 225 days to go around the sun. So that's its year. So, man, forget about your work week. Boy, it's going to be – I can't wait for the weekend on Venus, that's for sure.
So, Dean, this place is clearly fascinating. And there's people who make the argument that we ignore Venus in favor of a place like Mars, which gets all the attention because, Mars seems like it's much more habitable. It's much more likely that you could find some kind of life on Mars. I mean, do you think that's fair that this fascinating place, Venus, is getting ignored – to our detriment?
Well, I guess I like a nice planet where I can stand and live for a little bit. Venus is – it's not that we haven't tried. That's for sure. We've sent spacecraft after spacecraft to Venus. The Soviet Union sent a lot of these spacecrafts and landers, and they just kept failing and landing and crashing. And the Americans would send things, and they would crash. And so the longest lasting spacecraft on Venus, I think, lasted about 2 hours before it basically melted into a pile of goop.
Hmm.
So it's like, when are you going to keep sending things back over and over and over again? And it's not a place that maybe our future holds. But there are some visionaries that think, well, maybe we can establish something in the cloud tops, that if you're up at a higher elevation, the temperature and the pressures could be more like Earth. But I think you're right. I think the future is Mars, and it's mostly because of this idea that NASA wants to follow the water. Any place where there's water found in the solar system, that's the place we want to really highlight.
Aside from the science, Venus has had this mystical and sacred relationship with human beings really ever since people noticed it coming up in the morning sky. So let's forget the science for a minute and just weigh in on that, the mystical nature of our neighbor.
Oh, I love seeing Venus in the nighttime sky. It is the brightest star-like object, brightest planet up there. And right now it's in the evening sky for the next month or so. You're going to see it every night after the sun goes down. And it's like this suspiciously bright light. It's almost like a UFO coming at you. And
it gets your attention in the morning, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you think that, that the ancients, when they saw this too, were totally transfixed by this. That's why it became the goddess, basically, because it was so bright. So right now it's the evening star, visible right after dark. And it'll be around for another month or so. And then if you point a telescope at it, then you get a little extra more mystery because it's not a perfect circle. Venus goes through phases from our view on Earth. And so it's a half Venus right now. In a couple weeks, it's going to be a crescent Venus.
Hmm. Dean Regas, you're going to have me thinking about a day being longer than a year for a while now, I think. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Keep looking up.
And Dean's an astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory. He's also co-host of the PBS show Stargazers.